Okay, we're starting here at the top of Kuf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, the new Mishnah. This parak is dealing with Reshita Geiz. Reshita Geiz is actually in the subsequent posuk to the Zerua Lechaim and the Keba, therefore the order of the Prokim. We are dealt with in Perak Yud Chet in Dvarim, Pasuk Gimel, Zeyeh Mishpat HaKohenim, Meit Am, Eid Zobchei HaZevach, Im Shorim Seh, Benatan HaKohen HaZerua, V'Alechaim V'Akeba. And then the subsequent posuk is Reshita Gantcha, Tiroshcha V'Yitzarecha, Vereshit geiz tzonecha titen lo. First of the shearings of your flocks that you should give to the Kohen. That's what the Mishnah is going to deal with, the parak is going to deal with. The Mishnah has the familiar setup that we've seen throughout Kulin, which is Vereshit geiz noheg baretz uvachus laretz. Bifnei abayit shalo bifnei abayit. It doesn't matter if it's in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, whether the Mikdash is extant or not. B'chulin avado b'mukdashim. It is true by chulin, by mukdashim, it's not applicable. So chomer bizroa v'lechaim v'keba'a in reshit hageiz. There are certain things that are more chamur when it comes to zroa v'lechaim v'keba'a than it is by reshit hageiz. Zroa v'lechaim v'keba'a nohagim babakar uvatzon. So the first thing is, the first difference being, that obviously when we're talking about shearing, we have to be talking about tzon. We have to be talking about the flocks. By babakar, it's not relevant in terms of what you shear. It's also not relevant when it comes to se'irim. Se'irim, you do not shear se'irim. You might cut their hair, but you don't shear them. So the only thing it's really going to be relevant for is rechelot, or those that are within the category of the sheep. Berum merubeh o bemuat. When it comes to the Zerua Lechaim and the Keba, it's irrespective of the size of the animal or how much you shecht. Each animal is chayav in Zerua Lechaim and Keba. Reshita Geiz, first of all, Einu Noheg Ela Berechelot. It's only applicable to animals that have wool. That's what you shear. Einu Noheg Ela Bemerubeh. And it's only applicable when it comes to a certain quantity. You have to have a minimum quantity, which the Mishnah is about to discuss, is what is that minimum quantity that will be mechayev you in Reshita Geiz. But it's not just that if you shear an animal, you must give the Reshit to the Kohen, but there is a minimum standard that will be mechayev you in Reshita Geiz. Just interesting to note here that the Mishnah uses Ve'enu Nehegel Berechelot, Rashi's Girsa is Elo Berechelim, and then I'm not even sure why they use the Rachel as the paradigm or the example of something that has wool. It's anything within that category of sheep that would have wool. But Kamahu Merubeh, what is considered to be the enough to be chayav in Reshita Geiz? Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Shammai says the minimum standard is shtei rechelot. Has to be two sheep, shenemar, because it says in Yishayahu, Yechayish, Ekblat Bakar, Ushtei Tzon. This pasuk is found in Yishayahu Zayin. The parak, at the end of that parak, is speaking about the nevuah that is given with regards to the birth of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and that he will be Moshian Shel Yisrael, that obviously, there are two ways to interpret the nevuah. Some interpret it l'gabei Mashiach, Mashiach ben David, but most interpret it to be referring to Chizkiyahu HaMelech and his battle with Ashur. And then it says, Vayah bayomahu, Vayah bayomahu. On that day, when there will be this great victory, so all these wonderful things will happen, or these will be, this was what would be happening in the day. So on Pasuk Chaval, there it says, Vayah bayomahu, Yechayeh ish eglat bakar ushtei tzon. And there'll be so much wealth, there'll be so much, be so plentiful, that they will have all of this. So the number that's determined to be of significance to an individual is Yechayish Eglat Bakar Ushtei Tzon. That he has one cat, one something from the cattle side, and he has two tzon from the side of the flocks, or that which he can shear. On the other hand, Beit Hillel Marim Chamesh. Chamesh is the minimum standard, Shenemar. This is from Shmuel Aleph. This is the story by Avigayo. When David sends to her husband Naval, asking him for help for his troops and food for his troops, Naval rejects them. Avigayo gets word of what had happened and realizes that David's going to kill them. So therefore she sets out with a gift to David in order to placate David and tell him not to attack those innocents that are here, that her husband is really the problem, but everybody else is okay, and everybody else is on his side. And as she's coming around, it says, Vatemeher, Abigail, Vatikach. And this is what she took for David HaMelech. Mataim lechem, Ushnaim nivle yayin, 200 loaves of bread, 2 flasks of wine, Vechamesh tzon asuyot, five sheep that were carrying or laden with wool. Kamesh Seim Kali Umeyat Sumukim Umatayim Dvelim Etasim Alachamorim. She loads up all this food for the troops. But what you see from here is what's considered to be significant is Kamesh Tzon Asuyot. That when you talk about shearings, then a gift of significance, something that is meaningful, is Kamesh Tzon. So obviously these are just Rimazim.
Was it talking about the meat?
It says Asuyot. Asuyot here is that they are laden, that they are carrying wool on their back. And that, so it seems to be that the significance is Asuyot, not the Tzon themselves. Right, but I think the significance in being a gift, this is something that you would gift to someone, so that it gives it a level of significance. That once you reach that minimum of five, that's considered something of significance that you would give to someone else. The Gemara will get back to this. We're not going to get it today, but the Gemara will get back to it. I will say that there is an issue of significance because of titen lo. And that the Gemara says it has to be something that is... Exactly. So the Gemara does mention that. Rabbi Dosa ben Urkinus Omer. Chamesh rechelot gozuzot maneh maneh upras chayavot bereishit hageiz. So Rabbi Dosa ben Urkinus says not only do you have a minimal number of rechelot, you also have a minimum weight or quantity of shearings that come off of them. And that is maneh maneh upras. As Rashi says, kolachat maneh v'chetzi, that each one's got to be carrying a 100 and a half, 150 zuz worth of wool on them. But sir, mehachid ochashim geiz, that's not considered shearings below that amount. Shazub, chuta, shibgizot. That's the minimum that you would shear an animal for, is this 150 zuz. So therefore, he says, not only is there a minimum number of animals, but each animal has to have a minimum amount of weight or value that it is being sheared for. So if chamim omim, chamesh rechelot gozuzot, kol shehen. Chamim will argue on him, say that the number is simply about the animals, the number of animals, not about the quantity. Not about the quantity that's being sheared. How much is given to the Kohen? So you see, not only is there a minimum amount of what you have to shear, but now there is a minimum amount that's being given to the Kohen as well. All it says in the Pasuk is Reshit. Reshit doesn't have a definition. We know that by Truma already, that Reshit means Afilu Koshu, even the smallest amount. That is considered to be Reshit. So there really is no minimum standard, but the Chazal focus on this titen lo, that has to be a gift of significance, and therefore bekamenot limlo mishkal chamesh slaim be Yehuda, the weight of chamesh sela in Yehuda shein eser slaim be Galil, who had obviously sela that were half the size of the sela in Yehuda, so there would be eser slaim be Galil. Now the type of wool that he has to give is mluban velo tzowi, has to be white and not brownish or discolored, either referring to the quality of the wool. Should know that la beina dain kulo, Rashi seems to say that it hasn't grown out to the point where it's white, which would be a qualitative amount. I mean, that's proper wool to make a beged with. Or, if he pointed out that it could be mluban, but lotsoi is clean in the sense that not dirty, because otherwise the dirt will go towards the weight. It will not leave you with a residual amount of wool that you can make a beged katan. The resultant beged is what's important over here. Shneamar, because it says, titen lo sheibo kedei matana. Titen lo veshit geiz sonecha. Titen lo is that it must be sufficient in order to be of significance. Of significance means that he can make or result in a beged katan. Lo yispik nitno lo ad shitzivo. If he is unsuccessful at giving it to him, or he doesn't give it to him until he dyes it, then patur. Why is he patur? Rashi writes, so here, of course he's patur. Dekanya v'shinui. Like Rav Chisda said, kimazik matnot kuna o she'achlan. This is someone who stole, basically, matnot kuna. If you do a shinui already, then it's not be'en. We saw in the last paragraph, if it's still be'en, you still have to give it. But here, it's not be'en anymore. He's changed the status. He changed the item. He's dyed the item. So it's no longer the wool that he was supposed to give. And therefore, mazik matnot kuna o she'achlan, you are patur.
He didn't get a chance.
What does it mean, didn't get a chance?
but that's not usual.
I agree with you, but in the end, you just don't have a chance because you didn't take it out. He didn't bother to take it out. I mean, it's not like he has to do anything. He just has to separate out that wall. Now, there's an interesting Tosfot. There's a Tosfot on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Bet that really should be on our Mishnah about that Shitzvel Patur. He asks on Rashi, says, Rashi explains over here that the reason behind the fact that when you do the shinui here and you dye it, that you don't give it is because of that din of Rav Chisda. Well then, what's the chiddush in the din of Rav Chisda? We, in the last parak, dealt with Rav Chisda's din. We challenged it from all over the place. Guess what? It's explicit in his Mishnah. What's the Chiddush of Rav Chisda if this Mishnah actually tells us that same din of Rav Chisda, which is if you steal the Matnot Kuna, when it's a din in Mamon, that's it, it's over, you don't have to give it anymore. The end of the giving process, you've now stolen them and there's no obligation now to pay them. So that's a question. Tosafot dealt with it. Let's say Yedei Shamayim, whether there's any din, let's say Yedei Shamayim. Tosafot in the previous parak discussed the difference between where the limud is from. If the limud is from the pasuk of Vizeh, it means that if it's not it, it's nothing. It's garnished, and there's no even din, let's say Yedei Shamayim. If you say that it's a mamon she'in lo tovin, that's the reason over there, then there might be a din, let's say Yedei Shamayim, because the reason that you're not giving it to him is because nobody has a real claim against you. There's no claimant to come and make a claim, but it still means that there is this outstanding obligation, technically, and therefore there would be a din, let's say, Yedei Shamayim. Tosfot over here quotes, it's such an interesting Tosfot. I don't remember seeing anything like this in Tosfot anywhere else. He asks the question in Rashi, and then he says, "Ubeperish Rashi Arishonim b'michtav yado." We have some older versions of Rashi, earlier Ktav Yad of Rashi, Perish. Shekodem shegazaz chamesh tzon. That what he did here, which is the interesting scenario, this is more along your lines of your question, Joel, that before he reached the point of shearing five tzon, tainu kedei chiyuv, tzava ma shegazaz. He's not on the animal. He sheared off three animals, dyes it, then he does the other two. So he's dyeing it before he reaches the quantity of shearing the actual five. He only does three, dyes it, then does the other two. So he did the shinoi, so he never gets to it where there's five together that he is shearing. Vehevir alav kumus. And he drew a line over it and crossed it out. So now Tosfot does something interesting. He says, Rashi changed his mind. He says the pshat is Rav Chisda. Okay, we agree. It's because he crossed out that explanation. But Tosfot says, that's exactly what Rav Chisda did. Rav Chisda is coming along to say, don't think that the pshat in the Mishnah is like that first Rashi in the Ktav Yad. The real pshat in the Mishnah is like me, Rav Chisda. And that's the Chiddush of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is teaching us how to read the Mishnah. And that's what he says over here. He says, V'nira de kamashmo on Rav Chisda. D'lo nefaresh manitan keperish amachok bakunches. Don't explain the Mishnah like the original Ktav Yad of Rashi. Ela patur, ishum de mazik matnot kuna shekanan bishinui. It's a very interesting Tosafot. I don't recall seeing anything of this type of nature in a Tosafot, but very, very interesting Tosafot about what the Chiddush here of Rav Chisda is, the Gabei our Mishnah. Libno velo tzivao. On the other hand, if he bleaches it, but does not dye it, there he is chayav. That's not considered to be a shinui over here. Because the underlying color is white, even though it's dirty here and it's been discolored, whatever reason. So bleaching it is not considered a shinui for kinyan, and therefore you still chayav the matnot kihuna here. Whereas tzivo, if you actually dye it, then it is a shinui, and you're kone the matnot kuna. Okay, geiz tzono shel oved kachavim, patur min rishita geiz. If you purchase the shearings from an oved kachavim, as Rashi points out, afilu b'mechubar, this is even if it's still on the animal. You buy it while it's on the animal to shear these animals. So you're not buying the animals. You buy the wool that is on the animals and you will shear that wool off. You are still patur because tzoncha, it's the underlying animal that matters. It's not who owns the geiz, but who owns the underlying animal. If he has two types over here, two types meaning types of wool that are going to come off, different colored wool. He has different colored sheep, so he has different colored wool. So therefore, shchufot ve'livanot, he has that which is brown, dark colored, and that which is white. Machar lo shchufot. Now here we have a case with a Jew, this is David's question, who sold him the brown, avalo livanot, but he left behind the white wool. Zicharim, he sold them all the male sheep, avalonikevot, ze notein latzmo, veze notein latzmo. Then each one is independently chayav in terms of giving the reshit hagez. The implications from this, and the Gemara will deal with this, are that if that was not the case, if the original balim left behind something that was in this category, then whatever's left behind becomes the obligation or takes on the obligation of the reshit hagez. But we'll get to that in the Gemara, but that really, this is your question about who does the obligation devolve upon? Who's the one that has to take care of the Reshita Gaze, and where's the assumption in these sales of where the Reshita Gaze ends up? We're going to spend a lot of time on the first part of the Mishnah today, which is, B'muktashayim, my time alone. Why is it by the Muktashim that you do not give Reshita Gaze? So Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Reshit Gaze Sonecha Titeno. So toncha velo tzon hekdesh. You have a pasuk that says it's your tzon and not the tzon of hekdesh. It's the miyut of the pasuk. So when it says paima dichta brachman tzon lecha, the reason is that you have a miyut in the pasuk. That's why you don't give mukdashim. Halav hachi. Had it not been for that, hava mina kodashim mechayavim bereishit hagez. So then we would have thought, without this miyut from the pasuk, you would have thought that kodashim are chayavim bereishit hagez. He said, "Mar asked a very simple question. Ha, lav b'nei gizan yehu. Kodashim, you do not shear. They're not available for shearing. They belong to Hekdesh. There is no shearing of animals of Hekdesh. Dichtiv. Because we have an explicit pasuk when it comes to the Bechor. By Bechor and Dvarim, Perek Tedva, pasuk Yutet. Ko Bechor, asher yivaleid b'bchorcha, v'tzon necha, ha-zachar, tadish l'ashem elokecha, lo tavod b'bchor sherecha, lo tagoz, b'chor tzonecha. Then you're not allowed to shear the sheep. So here you have an explicit restriction against shearing that which belongs to Hekdesh. So where would you give the Reshita Geis from if you can't shear these sheep? So in Ochanami, like Shaul said, if it was Kodshei Mizbeach, that's the din that we learn out of the paradigm from Bechor. But Hochamayiskinan, here we're dealing with what? Bekodshei Bedek Abayit. And therefore, we can distinguish, or we can have the shearing, you're allowed to shear these animals that are kochei berek bayit. Va'amar of Lazar kochei berek bayit, asurim b'gizav avudah. Wait a minute. We have an opinion in the Tanaim that says, that when it comes to kochei berek bayit, they have the same restriction as kochei mizbeach. There is no avodah in gizah, even b'kochei berek bayit. So my answer is, midrabanan. That's only a din derabanan. That means underlying midi oraita, you could work these animals and you could shear these animals. So salkadat chamina, I would have thought, ho umidi oraita b'nei gizanin hu, since mina Torah, you're allowed to shear these animals. Heichid gozozle, if he did do the shearing, leitevle, he would have to give reshit hageis. Along comes the pasuk and says, reshit hageis tzonecha titein lo. The Gemara says, I don't understand this. Why would you give it to the Kohen? Ha kodesh lo. When you makdish the animal to Bedek Abayit, the shearings, the wool goes along with it. It's not like they're separate entities that all of a sudden, oh yeah, no, they're not the shearings. The shearings are Kodesh also. So why would you even have a Havamino that should go to the Kohen? Not a different coin. The Bedek Abayit is going to the Mikdash. Doesn't want any coin. It's not the property of the Kohen. So Tzakadat Hamino, Lifrok, Veleitevle. No, you'll have to be Podeh, the shearings. And then give it to the Kohen, and then give him the Reshita Geis. Where it says, how could you redeem shearings? Haboi hamodo varacha. You require it in order to redeem kodshim. You need an assessment. The assessment has to be done in a point of time where the item can stand in front of you, where it's still alive. So if you've done the shearings no longer can stand in front of you. I mean, they're no longer attached to the animal, no more mechubar to the animal, and they're not b'nei hamodo varacha. So, Hanicha l'mandamar, that works well according to one who says, Kodshei Berek Abayit lo ayu b'chlal hamadav racha. We saw this machlok in the previous parak, we're going to see it again in Murah, that the opinion that says that there's no requirement of assessment while the animal is alive with regards to Berek Abayit, that'll work well. Then we have a solution to our problem. Elo l'mandamar you, that they are included, and you would require it here. What are you going to do? Ma'ika l'meimar. So here's our first solution. Our first solution is, Amar Rav Mani Bar Patish, Yishum Rabbi Yanai Hocha, B'makdish B'emto, L'Berek Abayit, Chutz Migizotea. Here's the exact scenario. He's makdish the Be'ema, excluding the shearings that are going to come off of it. So Sagadat Ramina Ligzoz V'leitivlei, he should shear the animal and give it to the Kohen. He owns the shearing, so he should have to give Reshit Hageis. Amar Kra, that's what the Pasuk says. Basically, your question, Joel, which is, it says, Reshit Geis Tzonecha. Tzonecha V'lo Tzon Shelekdesh. That the determining factor is not who owns the shearings, that's what we saw in the Mishnah, but rather who owns the animal, the underlying animal. That's why a goy, if he owns the animal and you buy the shearings, even mechubar to the animal, you're patur, because you don't own the underlying animal. So where it says, Yochi, kochei mizbeach nami. Let's say the same thing about kochei mizbeach. Say by kochei mizbeach, he was makdish the animal to kochei mizbeach, except for the shearings. So where it says, kachashe. He weakens it if he does that. We're not going to allow you to shear the animal because that's detrimental to the underlying kodshei mizbeach. That says kodshei bedek abayit, nami kachashei. Wait, why would you allow someone to shear kodshei bedek abayit and not kodshei mizbeach? If you say the problem by Kodesh Mizbeach is that you weaken the underlying animal, the same problem should be there for Kodesh Perek HaBayit, because you've been Makdish, the underlying animal. If you do something that hurts or reduces the value of the underlying animal, then you're hurting Hekdesh. So you shouldn't be allowed to shear it if it is Kodesh. So Damar, Chutz Migiza V'Kechisha. That's what it is. A Makdish animal, excluding its shearing, and any detriment that will come from that shearing. So that's the statement that he makes. So Gemara says, okay. Do the same thing by Kodesh Mizbeach. Nami. Damar, Chutz Migiza V'Kechisha. Do the same statement, make the same statement. A Makdish animal, the Mizbeach, except for its shearings, and any detriment will come from shearing it. Gemara says, Afilochi, that doesn't work by Kodesh Mizbeach. Because Poshta Kedusha Bikula. When it comes to Kodesh Mizbeach, you cannot control the Kedusha. Once the animal has Kedusha on it, it spreads to the entirety of the animal. Menat Emra, how can I prove that to you? Dama Rav Yossi, hello, B'Mukdashim. When it comes to Mukdashim, Kodesh Mizbeach, Omer Ragla Shelzu Ola. He says that the leg of this animal is for an Ola. Kula Ola. Then it spreads to the entire animal. And it's an entire animal is an olah. I mean, you can't just be makdish a single aver. If you're makdish a single aver, it's tofes on the whole animal, and the whole animal becomes an olah. Now, there is a dissenter there, and that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that's not true. But Gemara says, v'afilu Rabbi Meir, who says that if you're makdish an arm or you're makdish a leg of the animal, that it doesn't spread to the whole animal, is damar in kula olah, that it's not, the whole animal is not an olah. Hani mile dakdish dovar shena nishama tuyabo. That's only if you're makdish a limb that could be severed from the animal and would not hurt the remainder of the animal. But if it's something, if you makdish something that the animal is dependent on, if you removed it, the animal would no longer survive, then even according to Rabbi Meir, it would spread to the entirety of the animal. Well, that's what we have over here. Here you makdish the animal, except for its shearings and its detriment that is caused by shearing the animal. Well, the part of the animal that you were makdish is definitely something it's the entire animal, and therefore it'll spread to anything on the animal. So the kudushat mizbeach will then spread to the shearings, and you cannot exclude them from the kodesh. That's not true of kodesh perek habayit. When it comes to kodesh mizbeach, the kudusha is strong enough that it spreads. By kodesh perek habayit, it's not strong enough that it's tofes on parts that you leave out. That's the solution of Ramani Bar Patish. Second solution that was offered by Rovo. Rav Amar b'Makdish Gizatzma. It says, I'll tell you what they did. They weren't Makdish the animal. They were Makdish only the shearings. So Saukadat Chamin, I would have thought, Ligzoz Vilifrok, Vilativle, shear it, redeem it, and give it. Amar Kra, Gez Soncha, Titano. Mi She'in Mukhusar, Ela Giza, Vinitina. The only thing that's Chayav in Rishita Gez is something that the process that is mentioned in the Torah is all that's left to do. That's geiz, which means to shear, and titein lo, and giving it to the kohen. That's the only thing left to do. Ein mechusar legizav nitina, you are chayav. Yotza ze, our case of hekdesh, shemechusar gziza, p'diya, unitiya niya. There's another action that must be taken in order to ensure that it gets to the kohen, and that's p'diya, redemption. And therefore, I don't need the term soncha anymore. I can learn it out from the underlying pasuk. The underlying pasuk is only mechayev when there's no other action that is required, like redemption. So now the Gemara asks the question, and this next piece is going to take us through the remainder of today's daf into tomorrow's daf, which is el soncha the mayati. What are you going to do, or mayato? What are you going to do with the word soncha now? Rava just said, I don't need the word soncha to exclude hekdesh. So now, what do I need the word soncha for? What am I going to do with the word soncha? So the Kedetanyo, it's for this Breita, and this Breita is going to lead us on an odyssey. The Kedetanyo, Beimat HaShutafim, Chayav Reshit HaGeis, Rabbi Elai Puter. So we have a Breita that says that Beimat HaShutafim is Chayav. When your partners that own Tzon, are they Chayav and Reshit HaGeis? You have a Tanakam who says yes. You have Rabbi Elai who's Puter. My time of the Rabbi Elai. Where does Rabbi Elai learn this? That Shutafim are Pturim when it comes to Reshit HaGeis. Amar Kra, Soncha, Hilo, Shel, Shutafut. That's exactly it. It is a tzon, your tzon, in the singular form, your tzon, and not the tzon of a partner's. V'rabbanon. So what is that? Rabbanon, Rabbanon, Lemeute, Shutafut, Oved, Kochavim. Right? So exactly what you're asking. That is, Soncha comes to exclude the partnership that is done with an Oved Kochavim. There's a difference between a partnership with an Oved Kochavim versus a partnership with another Jew. Why is that? So Rashi explains this to us. Look in the Rashi. It's the second to last line in Rashi. The Me'ute Shutofut Ovid Kochavim. Aval Yisrael. What's the difference if you have a partnership with a Goy and a partnership with the Yisrael? So Rashi explains that because if you have a partnership with a Jew, then Miyuchad Lecha Kirinan Bei. It's considered to be Miyuchad Lecha. Tzon Lecha. Your tzon, that still can be incorporated on the term of your tzon. Hol Shneihem B'nei Chiyuv. Since both of them are obligated. V'chol Yisrael Kirin V'loshen Yachid. We know that the Torah can call B'nai Yisrael as in the singular form. When the Torah uses the singular form, sometimes it refers to the corporate entity, Klal Yisrael. Sometimes it really refers to an individual. So over here you could explain that Tzoncha is referring to corporate Klal Yisrael, the entity of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, anybody who's a part of that entity will still be under the term Tzoncha. Whereas when it comes to Ovid Kochavim, it's clearly that he's not within that entity, and therefore you no longer have Tzoncha, rather you have Tzonchem. That's why the Rabbanan are poter by the Shutafut Ovid Kochavim and not the Shutafut of the Rabbanan. V'Rabbi Eloi, Shutafut Ovid Kochavim and Olei. Where does he know that a Shutafut with a non-Jew is problematic? He learns it out of the first half of the Pasuk. The first half of the Pasuk is, we said before that you have these Psukim in Tvarim Yivchet. The first one is talking about the Zerua Lechaim and the Keba. Then you have a pasuk of Reshit Gancha Tiroshcha Vitzarecha, Truma, and then Reshit Geisoncha Titein Lo. So before, or it's part of the same pasuk, the first half of the pasuk of Reshit Geis is talking about Reshit Gancha, talking about Truma. So now, Rabbi Eloy says, well, we Reshit Dekoa that says Reshit Gancha, Velo Shutfut Ovein Kochavim. So the beginning of the pasuk says Reshit Gancha. When it comes to Reshit Gancha, there we say that it excludes a partnership with a Goy. So therefore, once I know that from the first half of the pasuk, when I get to Reshit Geis, I already know about a Shutafut with a non-Jew that doesn't work. So now I have an extra Reshit over here. What am I going to do that? I'm going to come to say that Tzoncha comes to exclude a Shutafut between two Jews. That's the way Rabbi Eloy is reading it. Rabbanan, Reshit of Reshit Geis, Hivsika Inyan. Who says you can use the Reshit of the Gancha in the beginning of the pasuk to explain the latter half of the pasuk? It says Reshit Gancha to Roshcha Vitzarecha. Then again, it says Reshit Geis Tzoncha Tidein Lo. Had the pasuk read Reshit Gancha to Roshcha Vitzarecha V'Geis Tzoncha Tidein Lo in Ochanami, you could say the Reshit in the beginning of the pasuk references the latter half of the pasuk. But the fact that the pasuk splits in half and puts a Reshit for the Truma and then a separate Reshit for the Geis tells us that they're two different dinim. So we don't agree with you, Rabbi Eloy. You can't imply the din of Reshit Gancha from the beginning of the pasuk to the latter half of the pasuk. Rabbi Eloy, what about Rabbi Eloy? That's a pretty good taino. The Chachamim have a very good taino. The answer, Rabbi, is it Vav Hadar Arve. Look at the pasuk and reads Reshit Gancha to Roshcha Vitzarecha ve Reshit Tzoncha Titein Lo. That Vav is a Vav Achibor. So the Vav Achibor brings it back together and says you can connect the two halves of the pasuk. The Reshit of the Gancha will have meaning with regards to the Reshit by the gaze. The Chachamim say, Rabbanan, I'll give you an easy solution, Rabbi Eloy. Lo nichtov rachmana lo vav, velo reshit. You have this that the Torah says, v'reshit geizoncha titein lo, just leave out that word entirely. Leave out the reshit, and leave out the word vav, and then you have the limud that you want. Why does the Torah have to go reshit, and that seems to separate them, and then put on a vav to connect them again? They say that's unnecessary. Rabbi Eloy says you can't do that. You need to separate between them. There's a reason to differentiate between Reshit Geis and Shuma. And that is because I did I Kedushat Amim, V'hai Kedushat Aguf, Pasuk Lohu, Vadi Arvi Lohu. The Torah separates between them because they are a different type of Matanot Kuna. When it comes to the Matana of Reshit Geis is a Kedushat Amim. It's something that is not like we think about in the Mikdash, but something that is the monetary value is due to the Kohen. The item is a possession of the Kohen, but it's Chulin, it's Mutar Lazarim. On the other hand, when it comes to Chuma, it's also given to the Kohen, it's also going to be used by the Kohen, but it has an Isur Zarim on it. There it can only be Kohenim. Zarim are Asurim bid, it has a Chiyuv Mita Bidei Shamayim if one eats it, meaning that there are restrictions associated with it that have a different form of Kedusha. As Rashi says, Chuma, Kedushat HaGuf, Shasurah Lazarim, Reshit Geis, Kedushat Tamim, Memona V'Alma, V'Kedushat Lav Davka. It doesn't really mean Kadosh. They're both something that's given to the Kohen. Chuma is not Kadosh either, and neither is Reshit Geis in the sense that we know of Kadosh. But their outcomes are different. One is Asur Lazarim, one is not Asur Lazarim. Therefore, the Pasuk separates between them and uses the Vav HaChibur to let us know that even though they're a different type of Kedushah, you can still have a limud from one to the other. So that'll be the din of Rabbi Eloi. V'baitema. And now some explain that the Chachamim have a different view of the world because Shutafut of the Chachamim b'tshuma Rabbanan chayuvei mechayvei. So until now we've been learning that the machlok between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eloi here with regards to how we darshan the pasuk has to do with how they view the Reshita Gancha's connection to the latter half of the pasuk. Rabbi Eloi says, I have Reshita Gancha, which tells me already that a partnership with a goy is poter. Therefore, when I get to the second half of the pasuk and I have Tzoncha, it's going to be Tzoncha velo shutafut, even a Jewish partnership. So that's the way Rabbi Eloi learns it. The Chachamim on the hand and say, no, Reshita Gancha is standalone that deals with Truma. Then you have Reshita Geis, a separate din. That's why there's two different words of Reshit. There are two different dinim. And therefore, I only have now one limud by Reshita Geis. The one limud I'm going to have by Reshita Geis is obviously the least chiddush. Least chiddush is a partnership with a goy will also be poter you. But when it comes to a partnership between two Jews, that we would not be poter by. That's the first way we learned the Gemara. Now, the Ibai Dema says, no, the reason the Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Eloi is because they don't believe it's true. They believe a partnership with a goy does not poter you from truma. You are chayav in truma when you have a partnership with a goy. Tanya, Israel va'ovei kochavim shlachu sadeh b'shutafut. You have a Jew and a non-Jew who buy a field in partnership. Tevel v'chulim mu'uravim zevazeh divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says here you have a mixture. The whole grain, everything that's here is a mix of chulin and Tevel. Why? Because the Ovei Kochavim himself is patur from Trumot and Masrot, but the Jew is Chayav. But when you look at any given item in the field, that given item is a mixture of the Jew's ownership and the non-Jew's ownership. That means that every item, every kernel, anything that's in the field will have a mixture of Tevel and Chulin in it. Rabbi Shimon ben Amli Omer, Shel Yisrael Chayav, Shel Ovei Kochavim patur. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Amli says, now the Jew's produce is Chayav. The non-Jews produces patur. So ad kan lo plige the argument. What's the machloket in the Mishnah? The marzara yesh breira. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that there's breira. After the fact, we can look back and say that when we divide up the grain, when we divide up the produce from this field, that is retroactively the ownership of the Israel from the beginning was on that piece. And since that was his ownership all the way through, that's the piece that's chayav. And the goy who ended up with his piece, that was his piece all the way along. That was his ownership in the partnership all the way along. And therefore, that stuff is patur. That produce is patur. That's the din of Rav Shimon Gamliel. On the other hand, Marsavar, Rebbe holds Ein Breira. Even after they divide up the produce, that doesn't tell us whose ownership there is in each one of these piles. It just says that's a practical solution to how do we divide up between us our dual ownership, our partnership here. But underlying each grain is still dual owned. This is just our way of dividing up the monetary spoils of the partnership. But that's not a determining factor about this grain, whether it belongs to the Jew or doesn't belong to the Jew. And therefore now I have a mix of everything. Aval, but what you see from this brayta is shutafut over chachamim divrei hakol chayevet. Everybody agrees that a partnership with a non-Jew is not poter you from the chiyuv of Shumot u'masrot. So that's the Ibaitim over here. The reason the Chachamim do not learn like Rabbi Eloi is because they can't learn like him. He says, Reshit Gancha comes to say that, oh, there's a partnership with a non-Jew, you patur me Shumot u'masrot. What do you mean? The Chachamim say that's not true. You're chayav in Shumot u'masrot when you have a partnership with a goy. So then when I come to this latter half of the Pasuk and I say Tzoncha comes to exclude something, well, Rabbi Eloi already learned from the first half of the Pasuk that we excluded a partnership of a Jew and a non-Jew. Therefore, Tzoncha comes to exclude a partnership of two Jews. But the Chachamim say, I can't learn anything out of the first half of the Pasuk because partnerships, even with a Jew and a goy, are chayav in Truma, chayav in Truma. And therefore, the latter half of the Pasuk is Tzoncha is going to teach me the least chiddush. What's the least chiddush? That's the first item that we need to learn, that a partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew is poter by Reshita Geis, and that's end of story. That's the second way to learn. So now, there is an important Rashi over here. V'ibay Deima Shutafu Tovid Chachamim B'Truma Rabbanan Chiyuvei Mechayvei. They are mechayev you in a partnership with a non-Jew. Why is that? Because the Chachamim, it says, Reshit Digancha. Digancha's answer is, you're Dagan, not the Dagan of Chachamim. Rashi says over here, how are we going to explain the word Digancha now? Digancha, the me'ute digun of Chachamim. That yes, Digancha will use the exclusion of Chachamim, kagon of Chachamim, shel kach sadeh shel Yisrael u'mircha. That's like a case where a non-Jew bought a Jew's field, and then he did the Gemara Melacha. So anybody who buys the tevuah from this goy will be patur. That the degancha here will not come to exclude or have anything to do with ownership, but it'll have to do with who did the gemar malocha by the truma. So miruach oved kochavim will be patur. That's one way to learn the word degancha, not to exclude a partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew. The other way says inami degancha lo dagan oved kochavim lashmunian deyesh kinyan oved kochavim beretz yisrael afkim yad maser. Come teach us a din, some machlokas, other places in Shas. Whether when you sell property to a goy, is that poter the property from the chiyuvim hatulim ba'aretz? Those items that are chayav, because it's a land of Eretz Yisrael, once a goy, does he have enough of a kinyan on their land to be mafkia, to take away the kedushat ha'aretz or not? And so what we'll say is the ganchav, lo dagan, of Oyel Kochavim comes to teach us that a non-Jew's property is patur. But nevertheless, if a Jew and a non-Jew get together, the non-Jew's property will be patur, but the Jew's property will remain patur. So that's what Rashi says you do with the word degancha. Then he says, what about, but the latter half of the pasuk, and the latter half of the pasuk says, soncha v'lo shutafut. So why would you differentiate between the word soncha, where you're saying you're coming to exclude partnerships, and degancha, where you're coming to exclude other items? It says, v'afagal demit soncha mashmalo v'lo shutafut ovid kachavim. Lo mashmalo midgancha. The mute is shutafut shorovi chavim, the dagan command the polyg dummy. Because Rashi says there's a difference between dagan and soncha. That by dagan, it's as if it can be divided. Shrechokim ota b'mida. Rekuinim be dagancha b'chalko shel Yisrael. You can divide it up and it'll still be called dagan. On the other hand, but son kol behema o behema, any animal that you take, yesh lo b'chavim chelek ba. He has a piece, portion of it. And if you divide a tzon in half, you're not going to get what's called a tzon anymore. It won't be called tzoncha anymore because of the ownership of the goy in between. This ownership of the goy in between changes the term from tzoncha because it's an indivisible item in that sense. That tzoncha is a single entity and the joint ownership is problematic. Whereas by dagan, you don't say that. You say that it is a divisible item. There is ways to split it up. And because of that, you could have this separate ownership. And that's why we'll use the word degancha only to deal with the Oved Kochavim himself, not with the indivisible partnership between a Jew and an Oved Kochavim, because it is divisible here. There is a way to divide up the produce from the degancha. So Tosafot doesn't like this second explanation in Rashi, because he says that you could then learn out of Reshit degancha that a goy is patur. Then you go to Reshit Hageiz and it says Tzoncha, so also know that a goy is patur there. A goy is patur, but by Tzon, as Rashi says, it's a logical thing that you can't divide up. Partnership is the same as individual ownership there, and therefore you'd automatically be patur from Reshit Hageiz, and then Tzoncha would be left over extra, and then they could have learned out to exclude a shutafut of Israelim. Tosu doesn't like the second explanation of Rashi, and he favors the first explanation of Rashi, that the Gancha comes to exclude a case of Miruach Oved Kochavim. It has nothing to do with ownership anymore, and therefore that's not applicable by Tzoncha, and therefore the Chachamim need Tzoncha to exclude the partnership or partnerships of a Goy and a Non-Jew. One thing to note, the Rashi says over here, that there are those that want to suggest that based on the opinion of Rabbi, that there's no way to be Mafrish Trumot de Masrot off of this item that has a mix of your ownership and the Goy's ownership. Rashi rejects that and says that there are two ways to solve that problem. Either you can bring Tevel from somewhere else, Tevel that is absolute Tevel from somewhere else, and you can be Mafrish on your portion of the Tevel that is mixed with the Goy's produce. That's one way to deal with it, even according to Rabbi. Or the other way to do it is to be Mafrish Mine Uvei. Take from that amount. Because whatever ratio of ownership you have with the goy, if you take off the full amount of Shuma from that, both the goys and your portion of what should be Shuma, then in that ratio of Shuma, you will also take out the portion that is Shayach to you. So if you're Mafrish Mine Uvei from the produce itself, then you could also come up with that solution because whatever ratio is true of the underlying ownership will be true of the Shuma that you're Mafrish, and therefore you'll get out the Shuma that you need. And therefore Rashi says that even according to Rabbi, you can be Mafrish Trumot de Masrot off of this grain. And now the third way to learn is Vibay Temu Tarvayu le Rabbi Eloi Mitzoncha Nafko. That Rabbi Eloi learns out both things from Tzoncha. It has nothing to do with the earlier half of the Pasuk of Reshit Degancha, but rather it's the latter half of the Pasuk, Mitzoncha. That because Shutafut, Tovir Kochavim, my time Delo. What is the reason by the shutafut of the Oved Kochavim that you do not have to give Reshit Hageiz? That's because you can't divide up. Yisrael Nami, the same thing will be true by a Jewish partnership. Yisrael Nami lo miyachadei. Same thing we do now by a Jewish partnership, which is that you have two owners in the animal, and therefore it's not called Tzoncha. So the same reason that by the Obed Chachamim you're Patur is because any partnership is not governed by the word Tzoncha. Tzoncha means yours and your own ownership. In a Tzon, in an animal, you can't get to your own ownership. There's always two ownerships there. Rabbanon, they say there's a distinction. This is the distinction we read in Rashi on the previous Amud. Obed Chachamim, Lav, Baruch Yuvahu. Israel, Baruch Yuvahu. There's a difference, and that's what Rashi explained to us before, that when it comes to a partnership with a non-Jew, you're now partnering with someone who's Chayav and partnering with someone who's Patur. They never can become a single entity. They can never be called Tzoncha. Partnership can never take on an entity of itself that becomes an individual. That's not true between two Jews. Two Jews are part of the corporate entity called Klal Yisrael, and we know that the Torah uses the term in singular even when referring to Klal Yisrael as a whole. A whole. Therefore, their partnership could be represented by a single entity, can be a single individual. That would be the difference between a partnership with a Goy and a partnership with a Jew. So they both agree, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eloi, that they all learned out of the word Tzoncha, and Tzoncha comes to exclude partnerships. The question is, what's called a partnership? When do we look at the partnerships as being individuals? And where do we look at the partnership as being a single entity? And that's Machlokes. Rabbi Eloi says it's always considered to be multiple people here, and therefore you can never have the word Tzoncha apply to a partnership. Chachamim say it's a difference between a partnership with a Goy, you can never be a single entity. Partnership with a Jew, you are a single entity, and therefore you can fall under the term or the rubric Tzoncha. So those are the three ways to explain the Machloket here between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eloi with regards to whether a partnership between two Jews is excluded from Reshit HaGeiz. The first way we learned it is because of Truma. We learned it out of Truma. And the Chachamim and Rabbi Eloi argue about whether you can apply the dinim of Truma to Reshit HaGeiz, because is the Pasuk a single Pasuk and you can apply it? Or the division, the word Reshit, the second time it says Reshit, divides the two up, and therefore you can't apply the din of Truma to this. Second way we learned is, in Ochanami, the Chachamim would agree you could learn out of Truma. The problem is that by Truma, Chachamim believed that you, a partnership between you and a Goy, would result in a Chiyuv Truma, and therefore you can't learn anything out from the Truma, because the Truma is not Oser anything with regards to Shufut. It's not poter you with anything to do with Shutput. The last way you learned it is that everybody agrees that you don't learn out of Truma. It's all learned out of Reshit HaGeiz. The last way you learned is just a question about how do we define partnerships. Are partnerships considered to be singular, Tzoncha, or are they considered to be Tzonchem? And that would be the machlokus between Rabbi Eloi and Chachamim, their difference of opinion coming up with regards to a partnership between two Jews. The Rabbanan Shita is what we saw in Rashi on the previous Amud, which is that when it says Tzoncha, it requires an individual, but Tzoncha doesn't always mean a single person. It can mean a group of individuals as long as they're treated as a single entity. So Tzoncha can refer to two Jews that partner together. They're still considered to be a single entity because they're part of corporate entity Klal Yisrael. And Tzoncha can refer to anyone from Klal Yisrael. Not just to every individual in Klal Yisrael, but any group of Jews can be called Tzoncha because Jews are referred to in a singular form even when there is more than one Jew. And therefore, they were included under the term Tzoncha, as opposed to a partnership between a Goy and a Jew, which you can never reach that level of partnership where they'll be considered a single entity. This has nothing to do with Rava. Rava just told us how we can get to a point where we need a miut from the Pasuk about Hekdesh. So Rava learned the miut from Hekdesh out of the Pasuk itself. Then we ask, okay, once Rava did that, what's the din with the word Tzoncha? The word Tzoncha is now extra. That's how we got to this. And then from Tzoncha, we learn Tzoncha and not a partnership. Question is, what partnership is excluded? Rabbi Eloi says that's even a partnership between two Jews is excluded from Reshit HaGeiz. From him say, only a partnership with a Goy is excluded, not with two Jews. And then we had the three explanations as to why that is. Why is it that Chachamim and Rabbi Eloi differ on their opinion? The Gemara now moves on, continues from this sugya. Again, we were on a digression. And this digression is going to continue to digress, which is Amar Rabba. But Moda Rabbi Eloi b'Truma, even though Rabbi Eloi here by Reshit HaGeiz says that a partnership obviates the need to give Reshit HaGeiz, that's only true by Reshit HaGeiz. But by other items, and the Gemara is going to have a list of items that go all the way through the tomorrow's daf, that where you have the same framework, you still have just like Degancha, Tzoncha, that are written in the singular, you have a whole bunch of these items that have that same terminology, yet we're not going to exclude a partnership from them. And that's because we have another limud to offset it. And that is, Amar Rabba, Modei Rabbi Eloi b'Truma. When it comes to Truma, Afagav Dichtiv Degancha, even though the Pasuk says Reshit Degancha, so Didach, in the Shuvut, oh, sounds like your Dagan and not that of a partnership. So two Jews are in partnership, sounds like you would exclude it. Katav Rachmana, we have an offsetting pasuk where the Torah says, Trumotoichem. So where is that offsetting pasuk? There is actually no pasuk in the Torah that says, Trumotoichem. There is no such word in the Torah. So there are two places where you can find something. I have my notes here from last time I saw this. I have one note that you can look in Bamidbar Yudchet. Bamidbar Yudchet, in the end of Parshat Korach, it talks about all the matnot kuna. There, when it talks about Chumat Maaser, in that pasuk by the Chumat Maaser, it says, "Benachshav lachem Chumat Chem kedagan min agorin kumayim min ayakiv." It's not Chumotechem, but Chumat Chem. That should be enough also, because it's written in the plural. Chumat Chem, your Chuma, but your being the plural form. And therefore, that comes to offset the Digancha that's found in this pasuk. The other place it's actually found is a pasuk in Yechezkel. Pasuk in Yechezkel, I don't think that's what they're quoting, but you could find it's a pasuk in Yechezkel, which talks about the matnot kiuna. And there it says, Reshit kol bikrei kol, b'chol trumat kol, mikol trumotechem lakonim iyeh. So there it actually is the word trumotechem. Kol trumotechem lakonim iyeh. Over there it's more problematic, because the trumotechem could be referencing the earlier part of the pasuk, which is Reshit bikurim, and the truma, which could be, that's why it's plural, not because we say about a single mitzvah of Shuma that it's written in the plural. But that's the only other place in the Tanakh that the word Trumotechem is used. So it's either from that Pasuk in Yechezkel or from the Pasuk in Bamidbar Yudchet, which says Trumatchem and not Trumotechem. Ela, if that's the case, Digancha Lamali. So what do I need the gun for? It comes to exclude a partnership with a non-Jew, which obviously would disagree with those above. So now the Gemara says Chala. What about Chala? When it comes to Chalat, it says Reshit Erisotechem, that's found in Bamidbar Perek Tedvav at the end of Parshat Shlach. It says Reshit Erisotechem Chalat Tarimu Trumak Trumat Goren Ken Tarimu Ota. So the word Reshit has a similar feel to us as other times we see the word Reshit, which is in our parasha over here, Reshit Ageis. So let's say that I should have the same din as Reshit Ageis, and partnership should be excluded. So that's what Mar says. Chalav afagav dichti Reshit, v'ikol ameimar nelif Reshit, Reshit, Reshit Ageis. The Mar says, malalan deshutafut lo, afkan deshutafut lo. Just like over there, a partnership, no, by Reshit Ageis, so to over here. So katav rachmana, pasuk continues, Reshit arisotechem. It's actually two psukim in a row, it says the same thing. Reshit arisotechem, chalat terimu truma, kuchumat goren v'kein terimu ota. The next pasuk is, mireshit arisotechem. Titnu, Lashem, Shumala Doritechem, but here you see Arisotechem in the plural form. Arisa Shelachem. So since it's written in the plural form, it means even that of a partnership. So Mar says, wait a minute, Ela, Taima Dichtav Arisotechem, that's the only reason that we would say that partnerships are still Chayav in Chayav, Chala. Halav Hachi, had it not been for that, Hav Amino, Neilif, Reshit, Reshit, Mireshit Ageis. Otherwise, I would have thought to learn out the Xerah Shavah of Reshit, Reshit from Reshit Ageis. Mar says, Adarabba, we have another Reshit, Nelid Mitruma. That same pasuk that says Reshit Ageis also says Reshit Digancha. And we already determined from the previous limud that by Truma, Reshit Digancha does not exclude partnerships. Partnerships are Chayavim in Truma. So why don't we say that the limud by Reshit Erisiyotechem, by the Chala, that Reshit we will learn out of Truma as being the paradigm, rather than the Reshit Ageis being the paradigm. Mar says, Hachanami, you're right. That's true. We could have learned it out of Shuma, and therefore there's no reason to exclude the partnerships. El Arisotechem lo amale. So then what do I need the word Arisotechem for? And you said before we need the word Arisotechem to teach me partnerships are Chayavim. Now the answer is, where do we do this Arisotechem? Today, Arisotechem. In order to be Chayav, there is a minimum standard within Chala in order to be Chayav in Chala. And Bamidbar nitna lahem Torah, v'sham ne'amar la, k'dei risotechem shalakshav. The way you make dough now, that's what you're going to be chayav b'chala. And how much is the sata amibar? That's omer lagul golet. That's omer lagul golet, because that's what the man fell. But omer asiriti yaifa. V'en the cheshbon ola, and based on that, we come l'chamisha lugim tziporiyim. When it comes to the measurements, that's equivalent to 5/4 of a log of tzipori, shehein shiva rivaim v'od midbariot, which is the equivalent of 7/4 and a little more of those measurements of log in the midbar, which are mem gimel beitzim v'chomesh beitzah, 43 1/5 beitzah, k'daminim be'ruvin, where we have all the calculation. I don't think we need to do the calculation now, but that is the minimum standard of what you are chayav in chala, meaning that there has to be a minimum amount of dough in order to be chayav in chala, and that's what we learn out of Arisotechem. Now, the Gemara says, Peyan. So we saw this in the previous parak. It says, sounds like only if it's your field that you're chayiv in peya. So that would be sadcha tzidach in shutfut lod. If you had a partnership, you would not be chayiv in peya. Nevertheless, the pasuk started out katab rachmano ubekutz rechem ekatziratzachem in the plural form. So elos, if that's the case, then even partnerships are going to be chayav. Elos sadcha damali. So then, what do I need the word sadcha for? Emutei shutafut oved kochavim. That comes to exclude a partnership with a non-Jew. If you have a partnership with a non-Jew, then you are patur mina pe'a bechora. What about Bechora? Afagav dichtiv, even though it says in Dvarim, Perek Ted Vav, it says, Ko Bechora sheyivalei decha bivkarcha, uvitzoncha. So bivkarcha, uvitzoncha is written in the singular. So I would have thought, Ko Bechora sheyivalei decha bivkarcha, uvitzoncha, didcha in the shutafut, no. Yours, yes. Partnerships, no. Katav Rachmano, the Torah says in Dvarim, Yud Bet. Again, we've seen this before in Dvarim Yud Bet, which talks about all the matanot that have to be brought up to the Mikdash to Yerushalayim. It says, Ve'beitim sham alotechem, v'zivchechem, ve'd masarotechem, ve'd shumat yadchem, v'nidrechem, v'nidvotechem, u'bechorot v'karchem v'tzonchem. V'karchem v'tzonchem is written in the plural, so that's even of shutafut or v'nechayav in Bechora. So if that's the case, ala v'karcha v'tzonecha lomali. What do I need that? It's written in a singular form in Dvarim Tedvav. The mu'udei shutafut ovid kochavim. That if you have a shutafut with a non-Jew, then you're patur mina bechora. Right? We're gonna stop over here because the mezuzam, and we're gonna see with tzitzit tomorrow, have an important tosafot that relates earlier in the mesechta that has major implications in terms of a talit she'ula or a beit dira bischira. And therefore I'm gonna leave that for tomorrow so we can spend more time on it. And we'll stop here.